Any questions? I'm ready to answer if I can.
Yeah. Okay. One by one? All right.
Hi, I'm Reverend Kushma, and I have a question regarding roles. Firstly, a comment. Thankfully for the 21st century women, 21st century men can now cook. So, you know, we're quite capable of cooking in the home, and my flatmate, he makes a very good honey and chicken.
The Bible doesn't say man cannot cook. I think it's silent on that matter, so man can cook. But what we understand in the Bible is that ladies are expected to be keepers at home. That is to say, they are the homemakers. That's the Greek word used if you translate it in Titus chapter 2. Ladies are told to love their husbands, love the children, and keepers at home. And in 1 Timothy 5, Paul says they are the ones who should guide the home. So the running of the home is mainly done by the sisters. That's God's appointment. Unfortunately, as you said, in the modern world, it doesn't happen. Not that it cannot happen, but people have ignored the truth. And what is the outcome of it is more severe than the issue of who cooks the food. It's a reversal of roles which result in disintegration of the family. What I understand from the book of Proverbs, which we will see more detail tomorrow morning, is that God expects the woman to be a homemaker. If you were to read Proverbs chapter 31. You see that the lady's main concern was her home. And she cooks. She was a rich lady, by the way, because her husband is a prince, he's going to be the king, and the lady will have all her maidens and servants around her. Nonetheless, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, she riseth up early in the morning, and she makes food and put a portion even for her maidens. She's not the one who just sleep until 10 o'clock and then expect her maidens to do the kitchen work. But she will be in the kitchen to do that. And not only that, she makes sure everybody has clothing sufficient for winter season and so on. And after doing all this, when she has extra time, she will put her skills into something that is gain worthy. Like she will make some clothes and go out and sell it in the market and bring the money. But she is not a businesswoman. That is what she does. In modern terms, we would say a part-time job or freelance. Only after her burden at home is completely done. So that was not her main work. Somebody told me the Proverbs 31 woman was a real estate agent. I asked the person, why did you say that? And the answer was that because she considered a vineyard and purchased it. I said, when you purchase a piece of land, you don't become a real estate agent. That's not what she did. People read into the Bible what they want to make out of it. But if you were to really read what the scripture says, it's very clear. That God expects men to be the breadwinners. Go out by the sweat of the brow, they cultivate, they till the land, they cultivate, they bring food. Of course, in modern terms, it doesn't mean you have to be a farmer, but you work hard and you take care of the family. I think one of the reasons there is unemployment in some countries is because men's places are all taken by ladies. It's true in some places. And the other reason I would say why families are, children are growing up without proper upbringing is because the mother is not at home. None can replace a mother. None can replace a mother. A mother's love for the child is irreplaceable. And that's why the Bible insists to the young ladies, love the husband, love your children. Today, if you were to look at many sisters, you see they serve other men other than their husband. More than their own husband, they serve other men. They leave early in the morning. They spend most of the day in their office. They come home very tired. And they expect the husband to serve them. I don't blame them. I understand. That's the situation. But why did God create woman in the first place? To be whose helpmeet? The man's helpmeet. Today, most sisters in our churches are helpmeet of men who are not their husbands. And that has brought in many, many problems. You know, there was a question in the questionnaire concerning this, and said it says, if that's the case, why should our young girls go to school? Why should they be educated? Well, we want educated moms. Right? I have said that from the very beginning, when I told my expectation of what a biblical wife should be. My wife, then my girlfriend, was shocked. She never heard of this, and I started to teach her from the Bible at that time. I said, look, if you don't understand it, if you do not want to be what the Bible says, we can't get married. And so you go and think. And she really had to study through the Bible and see what's a woman's role. At that time, she asked me this question. You see, I'm an educated lady. I have a degree. And I'm also studying in the Bible college. If I become what you say concerning a wife and a mother, that I must look after our children and be a submissive wife to you, then all my studies, all my skills are gone in waste. I said, that is a wrong idea. I'm not going to suppress your wisdom. I'm not going to limit your abilities and skill. I'm looking at you as a wonderful, wise, skillful woman whom God has created for me. And I'm giving you the arena that God has prepared for you. That's home. I said, I'm so thankful that you will be my wife, so I will have an educated mother at home. If I were to leave my kids with maids, they couldn't be bothered. They would never exercise the mother's authority. They can't, and they shouldn't. And they will never show the motherly love to my kids. I can't think of making my children grow in an environment where they do not have motherly love. A little bit of affection that we show at the end of the day will not make a family what it is. So, though the question was just about cooking, I think it's much more than that. It has a very wide application. And so, I believe the best way to think about our family is the God's way. And all our girls must be educated. And I believe so. They must have good education. And if they want to learn want to go for PhD, let them go. I don't think it's necessary in all cases, but if they think it's necessary, let them go. But don't use that PhD to rebel against God's plan for you. And that's my opinion. I am quite strong about it. I know many people don't like me to say that. When I first preached God's word in this aspect in the church, many were very unhappy. I thought I would be kicked out next Sunday. But I kept preaching, and many have changed. Not all have changed in my church. Many have changed. And I tell you the true situation that happened. There was one couple who came to our church and listened to the preaching of God's word. The husband was very convicted of the truth, and he went back home and told the wife, "I think God has given us two children, and we have not paid much attention to their spiritual nurture. I think we are too busy making money. Can I suggest that you stay home? We will live within our means." The wife immediately reacted to it. "Do you know what you're talking about? Your salary is less than mine, all right? And the house we have, the car that we have, is mainly because of my income. It's true." And the husband immediately responded, "I'm willing to give up the car, because in Singapore you don't it's not a necessity to have a car. Public transportation is excellent." And so he was more than willing to give up. And he said, "Let's downgrade the house. We don't have to live in such a big house. We can sell it, we can make some money, put into the bank, and we downgrade and give up the car." And the wife thought about it and said, "No, I'm not willing to give up." Within about two or three months, she became pregnant with a third child. Problem started. And there were a lot of issues at home. They tried to contain them. Finally, after the child was born, they got an Indonesian maid to look after the child. And that maid was not a very responsible and faithful lady. And she wouldn't feed the child on time. Sometimes when the mother comes home, she sees that the child was not fed with the breast milk that she expressed, and it was left in the fridge. She gets very agitated about it. 2-3 times she corrected. One night when she came back about 9 o'clock after a long day's work, very tired, when she saw that the child was not fed according to the instruction, she became so furious. She slapped the lady. She slapped the Indonesian maid. She couldn't take it. And you know, in Singapore, if you put your hand on a maid, you can go to jail. And the lady immediately reacted, "I want to go to the police. Open the door." Huge problem at home. 12 o'clock in the middle of the night, I got a call from that sister. "Pastor, please help." I said, "What happened?" Told me the story. "What can I do?" Of course I felt like saying, "Didn't I tell you?" Of course, it's very hard. So I prayed with her on the phone. And the Lord gave me wisdom, and I told her, "Look, you go and apologize to the maid. Yes, she was wrong for not doing what you have told her to do. But you can't abuse her. Since you have done it, you go and apologize and tell her to ask her to forgive you. And let her know that you're willing to release her, cancel the contract, and pay her 2 months' salary and send her back. See whether she will be appeased. What else can I say?" And you know what was the lady's response? "Pastor, 2 months' salary?" I said, "You choose between jail and 2 months' salary. I'm not asking her to bribe, but at least you show that you are repentful." And she said, "Okay, I understand." And I also said, before she put down the phone, "Sister, it's time, high time, for you to think what sort of woman you want to be according to God's will." Next morning, the maid went back. Everything was settled by God's grace. It didn't got into a huge problem. The lady decided to resign, end of the month. And she resigned. Husband was so happy. Now the mother is at home. His heart is at peace. He knows he can come back to a house where things are in order. Not everything will be okay, but at least less tension, less worry about kids. Mother is at home. And you will be surprised what God has done for them. In 2 months, the man had a promotion. And the promotion comes with a company car. And now, after the promotion, his salary is better than his wife's salary. But it was not given before her resignation, after that. Her demand was, let God do all these things, then I may stay home. But the answer was the other way around. You yield. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes it's lack of faith. Well, I do understand there can be situations where a man really cannot find work, he may be sick or some other problems, and the lady has to go to work. Now, those are exceptions. Don't take exceptions as a norm. Exceptions are exceptions. And unfortunately, many people do not realize the importance of it until everything goes wrong. And for some of us, things go wrong at a worse time because we cannot do anything anymore. But in that couple's case, things happen early so they could make things right. And they are a very happy family in the church today. And have been a great example to many others. So that question is a very relevant question. It actually, in a way, is asking this question, is Bible still relevant? Can we still trust the wisdom of God? Answer is, yes. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And that's my answer. Sorry for a long answer. Trying to make it clear. Yeah. Any other question? Yes, sister. Because the other is a son. He is relating what his father has told him. You understand what I mean? It was a man who authored the book, Solomon. So he is relating how his father has advised him. So my son. Does not mean it's not applicable to daughters. It is applicable to daughters. You can say, my daughter. Right. Yes.
I believe most of our children in this way, they do not keep their own diary. Now, my question is, how do we as parents live in diary?
Now, it's a big, big issue. I'm also struggling with that. I'm struggling it in two ways. One, with my own untidiness. The other, with my children's. Now, when I said that, you know, if you were to come to my office, my study room, at times, if you come now, if you go now and take a look at it, it looks very clean. Because I made sure before I left the place it's very tidy. But in the midst of my work, it can be very messy looking. You know why? I'm preparing a sermon, and suddenly a call comes. And then I have to leave immediately to attend to that issue. So I don't like to keep all my books. Because when I come back, I want to immediately attend to it. So I leave it there as it is, and I go. And when I come back, my secretary will come with a file of things, papers, and say, Pastor, can you just go through it? Can you tell me what I should do? So the books are there, and I put the new file on the top of it. And when I'm doing, another call comes. So when you come, I'm with a lot of books around me and papers on the top of it, talking to somebody, and then I put down, you are there. And so I sit there, instead of keeping everything, I talk to you. And at times I feel, oh, I look very untidy. And then my wife occasionally will come in and said, oh, you got so many books on your table, let me help you. I said, please don't touch, because I know where my things are. If that book is moved away from there, I don't know where it is. Then she will ask me, how can you figure out where your book is when it's so messy? I said, this mess has an orderliness. So it's an orderly mess. Don't touch it, please. So that's one of the struggles. And the thing that I see, even children's life, is not a situation like this. It is pure ill discipline, and in Singapore we say botch up, right? That means careless. It's a very irresponsible behavior. I think, you know, I have to teach my kids this. When they wake up, the moment they wake up, they fold their blankets, tidy up the bed, put the pillows properly, and then pray, then come out of the room. And sometimes when they wake up, they walk out without doing any of these things. When they come out of the room, I immediately go into the room and take a look. I say, come back. Now, keep the bed tidy. I stand there and let them do it. And then they say, Daddy, after I wash my face. I say, no, you will not do it. I've seen that all the time. No, I will do it this time. I say, no, make it a habit, please. When you wake up, fold your blanket, put it at one corner. You thank the Lord, you pray to Him, give your life to the Lord, and then you come out. That's the best way. Make it a habit. There's no need to rush. You've got the time. And it has to be a discipline. And if you try to teach them from young, they will pick that up. Train up the child the way it should go. You can't train up an adult. It's pretty difficult. So try it from young. Sometimes we start too late. You know why? When they are young, we say, oh, they are so young. You know, and also we are too busy. We have no time to sit there or stand there and insist, because we are rushing. That's why a mother at home will do a lot of good. And so, if they are in their late teens, forget about it. Let them take care of it. If they don't take care, it's their business. Just don't open that door. Keep it shut. It's very hard. Sorry, I have no solution to some. Hopefully they will learn soon. Yeah. Okay. Time's up.